In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The fifth Sunday of the Great Fast is known after the man who was paralytic, and he was at the Lake of Bethesda, and he stayed there over 38 years until the Lord visited him. Of course, the direct lesson that the church wants to tell us today, that even if I have no one to look after me and I cannot help myself, there is always the Lord who is looking upon those who have no help and those who have no hope to come and visit them and bring them back whole again once more. This lame man had an encounter with the Lord, and he learned some lessons for sure. After his experience, he can tell us that I have learned these lessons. But meanwhile, there is also certain things that he was not able to grasp. Let us go over and see from this discussion that took place between this man and the Lord what we can learn with him, and what also we have to be attentive to, otherwise we might miss it as this man did. The first thing that we learn is that this man was suffering because of his sin. Of course, this man certainly did not sin for 38 years, but he suffered for all of these years. Maybe he had one mistake. Maybe he went into certain kind of an immorality that made him to be suffering this way. Actually, the fathers who are interpreting this part of the scripture says that this man attracted a sexually transmitted disease, and that's why he had this paralysis. And it was known that for certain kind of sicknesses, called an old disease that now is not very much common, it's called the syphilis, it can cause damage to the central nervous system, and it causes a person to be paralytic like this. Maybe this man, he committed this kind of fornication maybe once, and he attracted this disease and then lived suffering for 38 years. An hour of pleasure in sin can cause me suffering beyond my imagination. Sometimes we assume that's not a big deal. I can mess up for an hour, for a day, for a month, for a year, and there is always a way to come back. Don't underestimate what can happen after this 1 hour. You might ruin your reputation forever. My children, if you are listening to me today, posting silly stuff on your Facebook can cause you much later on. You will never know how these things are going to pop up in your face one day. Messing up with a friend here or there can make you at the end to bear consequences that's beyond your ability to comprehend. Thinking that I can go into, for example, a shopping place and take a small item that no one is watching, is not a big deal. This can cause me that I have a record, and this will be always something in my file and my record all the days of my life. Things should not be measured into the pleasure of the second or the minute. Things can be very drastic. We have to always to remember the lesson from this man. Maybe he messed up once, but he suffered for 38 years. This is the law of the transgression. You will never know how much this is going to cost. There is no price tag on every sin. If I sin here, this is what's going to happen. This is not the case. Consequences might far exceed my calculations. The second lesson that this man also learned from his experience, that I am the only one who will bear the consequences of my mistakes. King Solomon repeats the same lesson as well when he says, in the book of Proverbs, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. No one is going to do it with you. This man was left by himself all of these years. Where are his friends? Where are those people who had a friendship with him at the beginning? No one was there. He said this to the Lord, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Where did the people go? This is how things are. If I am wise, I am the only one who is going to benefit. If I scoff, then I will bear it alone. This is one of the lessons that we have to instill in the minds of our children day and night and every day until they get it. That if you make a mistake, you are the only person who's going to bear it. We as parents, sometimes we are yielding to the sense of responsibility and maybe like our love to our children, and we try to pay for them and we cover their mistakes over and over and over and over. No matter how much they scoff, we will be the people who are going to pay for it. But how long we are going to stay like this? How far we can live like this? How many years are we going to be there to cover for their mistakes? If we do them really a favor, we should allow them to a certain extent that they bear the consequences when they are young, and then they will learn that things has always have price. One of the things that we try to teach, that when you do a mistake, you have to pay for it. This is not because of cruelty or being harsh or that be kind and be fair. This is not being fair is to let them to learn the lesson. Being kind is to guard them with knowledge and make them to build the right experience. The third lesson that this man also learned, that water can heal when touched by grace. This is what the Lord tried to give hint to, even through the Old Testament. Water can cause man to be healed. Of course, this was a symbol of baptism. This angel touching the water was able to make the first person, whoever is going to go into the water, to be healed from his sickness. So we should not feel it's something beyond our imagination or understanding. Then when the Holy Spirit will come upon the water will be able to give birth to us, to become born again. Saint John Chrysostom comments on this part of the scripture when he says, yet as here it is not simply the nature of the water that healed, for then this would have always taken place, but water joined to the operation of the angel. So in our case, it is not merely the water that works, but when it has received the grace of the Spirit, then it puts away all our sins. We should not find it difficult to comprehend and understand the mystery of baptism, when the Holy Spirit will touch the water, and the water then will be able to cleanse us from our sins. The fourth lesson is that perseverance will pay off even after 30 years of suffering. He waited for hope that one day he will be able to go first in the pool. And actually, thinking of him, maybe I would feel discouraged after trying for a couple of years that there is no hope. What's going to change? I will always be by myself, and no one is going to help me, and there are many wretched people around me who wants to go before me. But this man did not give up. After 38 years, 8 years of suffering, he still waited in hope, and it paid back. This is a lesson for us as well. Maybe we have been trying to talk to our children, and we always are met with deaf ears, over and over and over and over. We should not give up, even after 38 years, maybe by then. God will touch these ears and will make it open to heed instructions. St. John Chrysostom also comments on this part. He says, 30 and 8 years had that man been waiting without obtaining what he desired, and withdrew not, and he had failed not through any carelessness of his own, but through being oppressed and suffering violence from others. And not even thus did he grow dull. While we, if we have persisted for 10 days to pray for anything and have not obtained it, are too slothful afterwards to employ the same zeal. He compares this man with us, when even like after 10 days of praying for something, we feel discouraged, I will give up on it. God did not listen to me. I have been praying for the last week, and I fasted last week, and God is not listening. Why I should be trying again? This man had been trying for 38 years, and it paid off. Perseverance always bears fruits. This is something for us as well to learn and remember. Another lesson that this man also learned, that God's mercy is not limited to just a certain way by which I can be reached. He was always focused on the water. If the angel will come and stir up the water, when I go, I will be healed. This is the only way. God have other options. He is not limited to a certain way where we think if God to help me, he has to do it this way. Exactly like Naaman the Syrian, when he went to visit Elisha, he had in his mind a certain expectation that Naaman should come out and he pray and he put his hand over his head and then he will be healed. But Elisha has totally different plan. Go and wash into the Jordan River for 7 times. God is not limited to a certain way where he can bring healing. This is something for us always also to think of. Don't think that God has to solve your problem in this particular way. God has many, many other alternatives. He can bring healing. He can bring a solution for your problem, even in the way that's mostly unexpected. This lame person also learned that the Lord Jesus is the help of those who have no helper and the hope of those who have no hope. Sometimes when we are by ourselves, we tend to pity ourselves. I am by myself, no one is helping, no one is heeding, no one is looking after me. I have been serving, I have been doing this and this. At the end of the day, I am left alone. Actually, maybe in this particular circumstances, you are to be in a way more comforted. Because when you have no one, when you give up on every help that might come from any man, by then you are subject for the Lord's mercy. He will look after you himself. So all of these lessons are good lessons for this man, and I'm sure that when we ask him, he will definitely repeat for us what we have just said. But what he missed, after all this, he was unable to recognize who it was who healed him. This is amazing. When we read that, then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was. This looks like, for us, when we think about it, how did he miss this? If I have been laid in my sickness for 38 years, and suddenly a person come and order me, and I stand and I walk immediately, how I don't go and ask him, what is your name? Where did you come from? How can I help you and give you the rest of my life? I was totally counted among the lost people. Now because of you, I'm starting a new life. How can he miss this? But believe me, this man is no less than many of us. Sometimes we do the same. We go into a difficulty and God allows us to go through it for a reason. And then he comes. And when he comes, he stretches his hand and he heals us. But we rejoice and we tell everyone, and maybe we'll go our way without even acknowledging and recognizing that something has been done by him and we owe him a lot. How many times God interfered in our lives and came to deliver us? How many times we recognized him? How many times we felt indebted? Yes, it is easy to say, yeah, he has done me many good things. How did this change your life at the end of the day? What happened between yesterday and today when you recognize that the Lord has done you many great things? If I truly feel it, then I will follow. Then my life will not be the same. This is what happened with the man born blind that we are going to talk about next week. The experience did not end into that I received my sight. Hallelujah. I will just go my way. Rejoicing. No. What happened is he came to know who did it and he worshipped him. It's a totally change in life. God did not heal this man just to make him to walk again. For how many years? One day or one way or another, he will come to lay back again in his back and maybe waiting for his time to depart. But he healed him to make himself known to him. This is the value. We do not go into difficulties just because God is watching us and he wants us to suffer. We go for any experience, good or bad, in order at the end to come to know him. If we miss this, then we miss everything. There is no meaning then. We just wasted time and the experience did not bear fruits. Let us learn with this man from his experience and let us not miss the thing that he should have come to know and change his life afterward. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.